of a cannon.
Welcome to Winning Starts on Monday with Andrew Moore.
And he puts on the Superman cape again.
Hello and welcome to Winning Starts on Monday. I'm Andrew Moore. Great to be with you on this public holiday for some states, but not Queensland. As we record this on Monday morning, there is still one game left in round 14 of the NRL season, with Canterbury and St George Illawarra to lock horns at the Olympic Stadium. Some of the notable mentions from round 14 to this point: Penrith finds a way to win again, despite trailing Canberra 20 points to 10 midway through the second half. South hold on over the Gold Coast. Sean Johnson returned from injury to inspire the Warriors to a massive win over Manly. The Sydney Roosters, again far from perfect, but for the second week in a row, just hold on at the death to beat Newcastle. Jarryd Hayne returns from a two-try performance as Parramatta wins for only the third time this season. Paul Gallen leads Cronulla to victory over Wests. And the Camerons, Munster and Smith, both brilliant for the Storm in a win over Brisbane. Penrith remains on top of the table, but St George Illawarra will reclaim that position with a two-point win over nemesis Canterbury on Monday. Ralph Tucker is the producer of this podcast and of our ABC Rugby League coverage. Hello, Ralph.
Hello, Andrew.
Look, we've been to two games so far. My highlight would be Paul Gallen's inspirational performance for Cronulla against West on Sunday in the second half, especially that powerhouse try. What about you?
I'm going to steer away from the games that we were at. Watching that game on Friday night and seeing the composure of Nathan Cleary under extreme pressure after James Maloney had played a big hand as well in Penrith's comeback victory over Canberra. I just love watching the guy play. He's everything his father is. Just cool, calm, everything under pressure. Nothing seems to faze him, and just delivers on pretty much every occasion.
Had a chat to Ivan Cleary, his dad and the West Tigers coach, at the team hotel after the Origin game last Wednesday night. And he was so clearly proud of his son, as any father would be. But did you see where Nathan gets that cool, calm collectedness from? Because Nathan and Ivan are the same person.
They are exactly the same person. And it's really great to sort of see that and that touching moment after the Origin when Nathan was on the fence there at the MCG, spotted his dad. They had a chat like any father and son would. And it was just great to see, and I'm really excited for what they're both doing on the field in their respective positions.
It's no surprise that Nathan is a terrific, calm, humble young man because that's the family he comes from. We met Danny Badiris' young kids on Saturday. No surprise that they're happy, pleasant, polite kids because that's where they come from as well, with Danny Badiris, who again gave us a great insight, didn't he, after the Origin about what transpired there in Melbourne.
Yeah, I mean, Danny's a great fella. He was busy over the weekend, obviously Canberra one night, then Newcastle the next day, and just happy to see everybody. So happy to see us, happy to walk into the box and have a chat about the experience that he'd sort of had over the week. And you pretty much, as we've sort of indicated throughout the coverage the last probably 6 to 8 weeks, you know New South Wales is in good hands with good people: Brad Fittler, Greg Alexander, Danny Badiris. And you could just see that the way that they were in the build-up to the game. So media access has been a huge thing over the last couple of years with clubs, states, just the restricted nature and the controlled nature of how the clubs and how the states do things. That's all been thrown out the window, and you just see the excitement from the journos, the cynical old journos that have been covering the game for years. The fact that Brad Fittler pretty much threw the doors open. Who do you want? When do you want them? Yeah. You can have them. Didn't affect their performance one iota. So I hope that's reflected in clubland in the weeks and years to come.
Well, we've seen Kevvy Walters do that for the last few years with Queensland, and good to see New South Wales on board as well. Just before we get on to some of the audio from the weekend, and Danny will feature in that, Brisbane is just clinging to a spot in the top eight. Well beaten yesterday. Wayne Bennett says the Broncos' second half was the worst he's seen from his team. How confident would you be that Brisbane are going to make the eight?
Not at all. I really think that they're not warming into anything. I just feel as though they're going to be around that 8th, 9th, 10th spot for the entire season. I can't see them being a major player in this competition at all.
Well, the team behind them are the Tigers. I don't think they can make the 8 unless they've got Moses Mbai. And I know Justin Pascoe is working hard with Canterbury to make that happen before June 30. If it doesn't, I think they've got glaring weaknesses at fullback and hooker at the moment, the West Tigers. All right, to the audio from the weekend, and we talked about Danny Medeiros, New South Wales assistant coach, and he did give us a great insight into how Tom Trbojevic was feeling after his excellent State of Origin debut.
Went up to him after the game, and he was just by himself, just sitting by himself, looking at the ground, and there was people everywhere, all the families around, and said to me, mate, what do you think? He goes, what was that? What just happened? What just happened? He goes, you run, get bashed, get back up. You run, get bashed, you get back up. I said, did you like it? He went, I loved it.
Yeah.
So straight away, you know, you got someone there that is in the rep arena for a long time.
Another young man we spoke of, Nathan Cleary, backed up from his Origin debut with that game-winning field goal for Penrith on Friday night against Canberra.
Atamo's caught only 10 metres out. Gee, look for Cleary here. He's going back. He's taking a couple of steps back as it goes now to Cleary. 22 metres out. Potts this one. He has kicked it. And the Panthers lead by one. 23-22 over the Raiders.
Sean Johnson returned from injury with a terrific display for the Warriors. And he's aware, but not concerned, with people on this side of the ditch, that we just keep waiting for the Auckland-based club to fall over.
We hear a lot of the noise, you know, and what people's expectations, and they vary. They vary everywhere we go. So, you know, we don't get caught up in, like you said, man, people on that side of the ditch just waiting for us to fall over, or they're going to crumble come the end of Origin time. They're going to fall away. We hear it all. So it's nothing new to us. You know, like I said, we're not focusing on that. We just want to focus on ourselves and the people that matter to us, you know, our members, the people that show up week in, week out. We want to keep those people happy. So if we worry about what we can control, and that's our game, you know, never getting comfortable, sort of that better never stops mentality, then I'm pretty sure that perception will die off, whether it's this year, next year, 10 years, who knows. But again, yeah, it's not up to us.
And Canberra coach Ricky Stewart, well, he was cranky after the loss to Penrith on Friday night.
No, we didn't straight away. We shouldn't have even been in the game with the statistics. If you look at the stats, we shouldn't have even been that close, and we should have won the match, but no one threw the game away. If we wanted to be in there, just busted their ass. That was such a tough performance. I was so proud of the performance. I'm not looking at who threw the game away or what us throwing the game away again. And they're leading the comp. No team scored a try against them in the last 2 weeks. And then I'm playing a halfback on the wing, and I've got a back row right centre. I've lost my centre in the first couple of minutes of the game. I've got Junior Paulo out, I've got Hodgson out, I've got Tapine out. That's one of their best performances of the year. Playing against a team is meant to be the best. I walk off, I'm unhappy with that. I shouldn't be coaching.
Let's go.
The Weekend Wrap.
Yeah, let's wrap up the weekend. On the line is my colleague on ABC Grandstand Rugby League, former Penrith Canberra Warriors coach, St George Dragons player Matthew Elliott. Hello, Matthew. How are you going?
Oh, Andrew, I'm splendid. Queen's birthday. Couldn't be happier.
What's your take on what happened so far in round 14? Any game or performance that stood out for you?
You'd have to like the Melbourne second half. I thought after the first half, they were really super clunky, weren't they? And we've seen it so much from this year. Just started to wonder whether they were going to get out of that rut that they were in. And, well, didn't they prove that in emphatic style in the second half? So I thought that was a pretty impressive performance. And I guess the Sharks' second half was equally you know, encouraging for them as well.
Cameron Munster, he'll feature shortly on our Tries of the Week. In the second half last night, he performed a one-on-one steal. Soon after that, scored an individual try. This bloke's becoming an out-and-out champion, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, how exciting is it to consider what he's going to turn out like when you consider as a young guy? I'll never, ever forget his Origin debut.
Yes.
He's just so full of confidence. It's unbelievable.
Penrith keep winning, don't they, Matt? It's not always pretty or perfect, but the Panthers know how to win. What is the key to that, do you think?
You know what? It's an expectation, Andrew. It's like some teams just find a way to lose. Well, they find a way to win. And I guess the encouraging thing for them is at the moment they're not playing anywhere near their best football. And when you think about the quality that they've got in their side, once they get through this Origin period and, you know, you clearly come through an Origin series that, you know, he's already performed really well. Just imagine what, you know, Campbell Gillard's going to be like. Their confidence is going to explode to a ridiculous level. They're going to be very, very difficult to stop, I reckon.
I'm keen to get your thoughts on the Sydney Roosters. We called their win over Newcastle on Saturday night. I was there with Bob Catt. probably a little fortunate in the end to hold on for the second week in a row. Premiership favourites coming into the season. They will be sixth after the round, which is probably about right for them at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I do believe it. And I think they'll be in the semis. But at this point of the season, all the indicators would suggest that they're not going to be a threat when it comes to the very back end of the season, Andrew. I just feel their middles that have been, you know, so super productive for them during a long sustained period just don't have the same impact anymore, and you need it, particularly with the way that the game's been, you know, managed as far as ruck speed goes.
What about South? Winning again without four Origin stars and without playing particularly well against Gold Coast, but that's a great sign, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And you have to also consider how effective, you know, they have been with the style of football they're playing, and that the guys that are in the team, particularly the Burgesses, that I know that they go overseas. There'll be a few of them going to Denver, I'd imagine. I don't know if all three have been picked. So that's going to be a little bit of a test for them as well, but they are absolutely humming at the moment. And again, premiership threat for sure.
And I'll ask you this. Brisbane is holding on to eighth position on the table, one win ahead of West, who are one win ahead of Canberra. Will they make the eight? And if your answer is yes, will any teams currently outside the top eight be playing in the finals?
That's a great question, Andrew. And I'd like to actually consider that one a little longer. My first, you know, my gut reaction is, yeah, they'll make the eight. They've just got too much quality in their team. But the quality in their team at the moment isn't showing up on a consistent basis.
They do have Matt Gillett rather, to come back as a key part of that team. And you've got to assume they're going to win the majority of their games at home. But even at home, they've had some narrow escapes. So it'll be interesting if they do make the eight, where that leaves the teams outside.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of shift at the moment, Andrew, in what's going on. I think teams are starting to, you know, stake their claim. Obviously, certainly the Raiders are a team that could go on a little bit of a run during this period. But I just haven't seen anything from them that excites me at all. The Broncos, every now and then you see the footy that they're capable of playing. I guess they've got some external distractions going on now. Just their key players, like Anthony Milford, is not playing the type of footy that we know he's capable of. If he can find 80% of that form that's in him, he will, you know, he will be someone that can influence their game greatly.
Just finally, I do need you to lift your game a little bit, because we have a segment, I know you listen to this podcast every week, called Weekend Weirdness. I'm pretty sure you're featured in every one of them from stuff out of the weekend. This time I feature with my Rainbow Connection and you don't. Can you change that next week?
Andrew, I just think that you've actually started to get some momentum in that area recently, and I'm feeling a little intimidated. It was my area of expertise and what I felt I delivered. But you've gone around me at such speed, I don't know. I'm going to have to go away and work on it.
Yeah, well, I'll prepare to pull back the reins too a little bit, if that helps. Matthew Elliott, thanks for the weekend wrap. I'll see you at the footy on Thursday.
Great, and I'm sorry there'll be no rainbow for you today as well, Andrew.
Tries of the week.
Referee will have a look and awards the try.
Yes, let's get to some of the exciting four-pointers from across the 3 days. Canberra against Penrith. I thought it was a good game on Friday night at Canberra Stadium, despite the penalties and some controversial decisions made by Henry Perinara. With the Panthers coming from 20-10 down to win, the final try for the Panthers scored by Dean Farray.
And now Peachy from dummy half, across field he goes, to the runaround now, to Tama, gets his arm free, gets the pass away, wide it goes to Fisher-Harris, takes on the defence, then to Farray in the corner, try, Panthers in the corner! And the Panthers are very much back in this game, close to full time, 5 minutes remaining, Panthers score in the corner, it's 22 points to 20, with a kick to come from the sideline.
From that, James Maloney converted to level the scores ahead of Nathan Cleary's field goal. My man, the Fuss, was at it again on Saturday, crossing for a hat-trick of tries for the Warriors. In the 34-14 win over Manly, David Fusatua at his best.
Picked up by Isaac Luke, goes for a whiz scoop, skips away from 1-2, there he gets the ball away, and Sean Johnson through the gap, Sean Johnson, deadly line, his head towards the line, oh, he ducks it off, a little dump off on the inside to Fusatua, looks like another try, Warriors.
$10 for a ball boon and a packet of chips was, back in the day, was great.
Is that what you got?
Yeah.
Geez, that's all right. A little bit of moon down on the far. Fussy Tua, has he scored a special? Well, we're talking about chips and coke. Fussy Tua's gone over in the corner. There's a little kick through to Awati. He's made a mess of it. And that's another try over there. Who was it, Craig?
Yeah, David Fussy Tua again. He got that one handed to him on a plate.
Fussy Tua now has 15 tries in 13 games this season. The Sydney Roosters had a narrow 18-16 win over gallant Newcastle. Latrell Mitchell brilliantly set up the first try in only the fourth minute for Luke Keary.
Latrell Mitchell beats 1-2 down the western touchline. Then he got a pass away. Cronk, he's over halfway. Keary, he's over the 20. Luke Keary's going to score for the Roosters. Brilliantly set up by Latrell Mitchell, this incredibly talented 20-year-old. He sets it up for Luke Keary, and after 3.5 minutes, the Sydney Roosters split them down the left side. Sydney Roosters 4, Newcastle 0. We've only had 3.5 minutes.
While Newcastle nearly stole the game, thanks to this late try, started and finished by Kalen Ponga.
Plays it to Griffin, sends it away to Ponga, holds the ball up. Lovely cutout pass for Taunia, beats 1-2, back to Ponga. He started it, and the young gun finishes it. Ponga scores for Newcastle, game on.
What a talent. Jared Hayne returned from injury, giving bottom of the table Parramatta a 20-14 win over a very poor North Queensland in Darwin. Hayne didn't take long to make his presence known.
Hayne is caught only 15 metres out, and the double tackle there on Hayne, so the penalty goes to Parramatta, and Hayne goes for the line with a quick tap. He's over the line. Try, Parramatta. Well, he caught them unawares there. Jared Hayne with a quick tap, and that's a try to Parramatta. Well, that's against the run of play, really. He had the penalty, took the tap. The Cowboys were waiting for the kick, waiting for the decision from Parramatta. Well, Hayne has simply sprinted for the line, 11 metres out. He took the quick tap, and he's put the ball over the line. First try of the game.
At Shark Park on Sunday, Cronulla staged a fight back from being 10-2 down at half-time to account for West's Tigers, 24-16. Paul Gallen triggered the comeback with his brutally strong effort close to the goal line.
Cronulla on the attack, down 10-2, play to Brayley. Sends it left to Paul Gallen. He steps, he charges into Elijah Taylor and two others, including Lola. Here, he's over the goal line. Did he get it down, Paul Gallen? I think he did. How on earth did he do it, Paul Gallen? The referee looking, asking, checking, and pointing to the spot. Paul Gallen's done it. He scores next to the post, the old warhorse. 9 gone, second half. West Tigers 10, Cronulla 6, and the Sharkies fans are finally on their feet.
5 minutes later, Gallen offloaded to the flying Valentine Holmes.
Last tackle, West, 18 in from the western touchline. Played Brooks, crossfield kick. I don't know what he's thinking, Luke Brooks, sometimes. He went straight down the throat of Paul Gallen. Then he got it away to Valentine Holmes. Look out, see ya. He's over the 40, over halfway. Shut the gate. Horsey goes bye-bye. Valentine Holmes, like he did the other night in Melbourne, runs 80 metres to score between the sticks after an horrendous kick by Brooks. He thought he'd have teammates chasing and not a soul chased after it. And Gallen had the wherewithal to give it to Valentine Holmes, who goes nearly all the way to score. 26 minutes left. Cronulla in front for the first time with a kick to come from in front. Sharks 12, West Tigers 10.
At Amy Park, Melbourne recorded a convincing 32-16 win over Brisbane, having also trailed 10 points to 2. Cameron Munster changed the theme of the game in the second half, a one-on-one steal followed by a magnificent individual try.
Munster again's gone in and done a one-on-one strip. The Storm have picked the ball back up. They're 10 out from the try line. They go on the attack through Munster. He turns it back inside to Welsh, who's set upon by Lodge. He flicks it back to Cameron Smith. He gets it away from Munster. He's 10 out from the line. He's looking for a support runner. He won't need him. Cameron Munster will score underneath the post. What a super try. He has been involved in everything. And if he hadn't made that defensive play on Jermaine Asako, the Broncos go 90 metres and score at the other end. Now he scores a try for the Storm. It's 18-12 with a kick to come.
The recovery.
Ralph Tucker joins me for a wrap of the injuries over the weekend, of which there were quite a few, Ralph. A terrible blow for Newcastle's co-captain Jamie Bure again.
Yeah, third ACL for Jamie Bure. You've got a feel for him. He's one of those real nice guys in rugby league and has faced some adversity in his career. He moved from Manly up to Newcastle, where he's been playing a leadership role. Unfortunately, with that ACL, that means season over, and you wonder where he goes from here in terms of the rest of his career.
Another rebuild, another 12 months or near enough. Yeah, very hard for Jamie Bure. I feel so sorry for him and, of course, his teammate Tau Tau Moga from earlier in the season. Penrith will be without the dangerous Viliami Kikau for a while. Actually, he was one of a couple of injuries to come out of that game in Canberra, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he'll be missing for 4 to 6 weeks with a knee injury. MCL is what they're saying for him, and he's quite a presence on the field for the Panthers. So they've had one of those seasons where they've had a number of injuries to key players but seem to be able to keep up for it. Canberra, on the other hand, their winger, Jordan Rupiner, serious hamstring tear for him, out for 8 weeks.
Now, Manly got pumped by the Warriors on Saturday, and things got worse for them with their hooker, Api Koroisau, injured.
Yeah, he suffered a foot injury there. They're saying a broken foot. Unfortunately, there's no real sort of timeline on that, but you would imagine it's around the 5 to 6 week mark. And again, they're another club that have been decimated by injury throughout the entire season.
What else you got?
Benji Marshall, of course, missed that game yesterday with Cronulla, forcing Josh Reynolds to come in at not only 5/8 but also captain the side. They're saying Benji Marshall looks like it's going to be up to 6 weeks with that calf injury. And he's been really great this season. I mean, he was going to be one of those guys that was going to be a mix of fix it, and he's been much more than that. So yes. I think that's going to play a huge factor in the Tigers in the weeks to come. So 6 weeks with a calf injury.
Now it's time for Weekend Weirdness. What was that about?
Some weirdness to come out of the weekend for sure. Perhaps not as much as usual. Everyone was well behaved. Andrew Ryan on Saturday at Hunter Stadium provided great assistance to me when I was making a point about the amount of time the ball was in play in Origin compared to club games. And he also proved himself quite a mathematician.
For Origin 1, the ball was in play for 62 minutes. The average in the NRL this year, 52 minutes. Mm. That's a huge difference, isn't it?
It's like 10.
It is. It's approximately 10 minutes.
Matthew Elliott thought I went way too far in describing the most stunningly beautiful full rainbow I have ever seen early in Sunday's game. It was just outside of Shark Park.
What are you pointing at, Matthew?
Oh, just above.
Oh, another rainbow! Not as pretty as the first one. First one was the best I've ever seen, Matthew. That would be in the top, maybe the top 200. Somewhere. Here's Cronulla with the scrum feet.
Welcome
sort of
to
halfway.
My trip to Tamworth.
Comes away to Edric Lee. He's taken 7 metres short of halfway.
Stay tuned, guys. Just hang in there with me. I'll get
ball,
him back.
Ball played to Seguiaro. Sends it left to Matt Pryor. Have we changed roles today?
And after that game, Paul Gallen wasn't getting much love from his kids, despite having scored his first try of the season.
Yeah, the girls are pretty happy I scored. Little one Macy here won't touch me because I'm dirty, but yeah, thankfully got a try and don't have to worry about the nudie run for the rest of the year.
Well, it was great fun calling the Cronulla West game on Sunday at Shark Park. One of the highlights was the performance of two of the best young centres in the NRL, the West Tigers' Esan Masters and the Sharks' Jesse Ramien, who will be a shocking loss for Cronulla at the end of the season as he heads to Newcastle for 2019. But he was so dynamic yesterday again, has great footwork, very strong. He scored another try yesterday, the game-clinching try as it turned out, and he's on the line. G'day, Jesse, how are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself, Mike?
Excellent. Mate, you seem to be going from strength to strength, getting more damaging every week. You must be playing with great confidence at the moment.
Yeah, I am. You know, it helps a lot having a few older heads in the side, and you know, as I get more games under my belt, I just grow with confidence. So it's been good, been real good.
My colleague Andrew Ryan will love the fact you're a Dubbo boy. Some great rugby league talent comes from Dubbo. Who did you look up to as a boy there?
From our Dubbo way, just from a little bit west of there, Canamble.
Oh yeah, but mate, Bobcat and others take that as Dubbo.
Yeah, exactly. looking up to. Probably not so much an NRL player when I was little. Sort of my old man was local captain coach of the first grade side.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was captain coach. So I, you know, was into footy ever since I was little. Always went to training with him, footy with him on the weekends. So yeah, pretty much my old man.
When did you move from Canamble to Sydney?
Actually, he only moved not too long ago, a few years ago. I moved up to Newcastle when I was 11 to go to Hunter Sports High School. Got a chance to go up there and play some footy and get a scholarship up there through the school. So I took that up and moved up to Newcastle when I was 11 and lived at Kirinari Hostel. Like an Aboriginal boys' home for Indigenous kids.
Yeah?
Yeah, so it was good.
And then to Cronulla. Look, you only turned 21 in April and only had one first grade game under your belt, that in the final round last year against Newcastle. What goals did you set yourself in the pre-season, Jesse, to ensure you'd be ready to tackle a regular first grade spot this year?
I just really set a few goals for myself, just strength-wise and that, and you know, fitness-wise. I found out you know, when I played my first game, how fast it was going to be. I didn't realise how fast, and the step up from Cup and 20s, no, it was going to be. That was a bit of a shock to me, getting that one game last year. But, you know, I set a big focus, and I said to myself I'd really work on that through the pre-season, my fitness and strength-wise, and I think I did that, and it's paying off for me this year.
Well, he's certainly a youngster impressing. At the other end of the scale, Jesse, Paul Gallen, he's the king of the pops. What about the way he led you guys against the West Tigers? That second half from him was vintage Gal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was massive. You know, when we went into the sheds, you know, Gal just said to us, we need to, you know, go back to what we do. Just need to, you know, run north-south and just run hard. And I think we come out and, you know, it's one thing to talk about it. I think Gal come out and he led the way for us, and he had a massive game in the second half.
We were in Melbourne for the Origin last Wednesday night, Jesse, and we got the great opportunity to see Valentine home sprint 85 metres or so to score. Similar thing yesterday. He's so great to watch when he's in open space. How does your speed match up to Val?
No, I don't think mine is anywhere near Val, but I'd like to think I've got a bit of speed there, but I don't think it's anything near Val.
Look, your battle yesterday was great fun to watch. How was it trying to contain the man mullet, Mahe Fanua?
It was pretty tough. I was in for a big game. You know, I remember watching Mahe as a kid, like watching him on TV playing that. You know, I always liked Mahe as a player, and I knew, you know, he's very, very strong, as we all know. So, it was pretty tough. You know, contain him. He bumped me there once, but it was good. I didn't really think about it too much. I just got on with my job. I knew I had a job to do for the team. And
the hair didn't get in your eyes at any stage?
Nah, it didn't get my eyes at any stage. But it was good. You know, it was good. He had to talk to me after the game and that, and, you know, it was real good.
Yeah, no, it was great fun from our perspective to watch. The Sharks, you said a win outside the top four. It's all very congested. Shane Flanagan still a little frustrated with some aspects of the team's 80-minute performance. Where do you think the team is in terms of how much improvement there still may be between now and the end of the season?
I still think we've got a bit of an improvement to do. I think some games where we're lacking the start and then we're finishing good, or other games where you know, we're starting good and finishing bad, or, you know, so I think we've just got to get that balance right. So, I just think once we can get that balance right, you know, put in that 80-minute performance, you know, I think it will come good for us. I just don't think we've really, you know, had a good 80-minute performance this year yet. We've sort of always, you know, let teams back in the game a bit, I think, other than probably Newcastle. So I think once we can just put that, 80 minutes together, you know, I think we'll be right.
And speaking of Newcastle, a big decision for you to sign there for next year and beyond, and it makes more sense now hearing your background as an 11-year-old making home in Newcastle. Any regrets on that decision, or is it something you remain excited about into the future?
No, not at all. No regrets from my end. It was a very tough decision to make. Going to Newcastle, but at the end of the day, I have to do what's best for me and my family going forward. But I'm definitely looking forward to it next year. But my my head's focused fully on Cronulla this year, and I can't wait to hopefully take it out this year with Cronulla.
Now this show is called Winning Starts on Monday, Jesse, and I enjoy getting the thoughts of players and coaches that we speak to every Monday about what their Monday entails the day after a game. What's the Monday like for Jesse Raymond today?
The Monday after a game for me today was a bit of recovery this morning with the boys. So I went down to North Cronulla Beach, swam a few laps, bit of recovery, bit of breakfast, and then it's on for the rest of the day now. Not too much. I might go grab a coffee or something and then just go for a walk and then chill out at home.
Sounds like a good idea.
Anyway.
Jesse Raymond, congratulations on your season to date. You've been great to watch. Keep it going, and thanks for your time.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thanks, mate.
The week ahead.
Yes, time to look at the week ahead, and joining me is another colleague at ABC Grandstand Rugby League, Canterbury Premiership winning captain, former New South Wales State of Origin and Australian Kangaroo star, Andrew Bobcat Ryan. How are you, Bobcat?
I'm really good. How are you, mate?
I couldn't be better, mate. I'm looking forward to your company for Monday Football Canterbury and St George Illawarra. We are looking at the week ahead, so I'll ask you about State of Origin ahead as well. Our first podcast since State of Origin 1, won brilliantly by New South Wales, thrilling game against Queensland at the MCG. How much of what happened in Origin 1 will either side take into Origin 2?
Yeah, it's a good question. Look, I think actually Queensland, they weren't too far off the pace in game one. Look, I thought New South Wales were excellent, but I think both teams will actually go to a new level in game two, especially now that the teams will get a bit of a handle on how they're going to play against each other as well, a bit of a game plan as well. So, but I think a real boost for Queensland will be having, you expect Billy Slater to come back into the side. I expect them to be some improvements there. From New South Wales' point of view, I think now the fact that all the debutants know what it's about, so I think they'll be in a much better headspace going into game two as well. So I think the quality is going to be even better, and I think we're even for a tighter contest, so can't wait for it.
With Queensland, do you expect any other changes? Obviously, Billy Slater, if fit, comes straight back in, no doubt about that. There's talk Matt Scott will come in, and even though I love the mobility of the Queensland pack, that maybe they just missed a little bit of experience, do you think, or not?
Yeah, look, I think he'd probably be a handy guy to come in, Matt Scott, obviously. Now that, especially getting a couple more games under his belt, and as you mentioned, he's that big go-forward man with plenty of experience as well. So, you know, they had guys like Cohen Hairston, Joy Arrow in there as well. Obviously, that mobility factor that you talked about. But, oh, yeah, I'd be surprised if they left Matt Scott out for game two. I think they'll bring him back in.
You've seen a lot of Kalyn Ponga live this year. We watched him together on Saturday night at Hunter Stadium. Is there any way for Kalyn Ponga to make the team?
Oh, geez. It's so hard to leave him out, really. But for me, I probably think he has to be really at fullback, or with the way they've gone, maybe. I can't see him bringing him on the bench. So if they're going to bring Slater in, which you'd expect at fullback, I can't see them bringing him in. I guess there's a chance on the wing, but in saying that, obviously, you know, you've got Val Holmes there on the left as well. So yeah, whether I don't know. I expect him maybe to be 18th man for game two.
All right, on to round 15 of the NRL, Bobcat. The way I look at it, there's probably three standout games, and I'll get your thoughts on them. Starting with Sydney Roosters Penrith, and that game is on Friday night at the Sydney Football Stadium. With the Roosters, they're winning without overly impressing, and Penrith just keep on winning.
Yeah, I think that's a massive clash. You know, as you mentioned, those guys, big crowd, you'd expect two teams that are right up there. The Panthers under adversity last weekend with guys backing up from Origin and down and out to just pull that game out of the fire. And as you mentioned, the Roosters, again, on the weekend, they showed some class at stages, but it seems like we've been talking about this for the Roosters for the last few seasons, that they just don't seem to do it for the full 80. They just keep teams in the hunt within the 80-minute get performance. So big game. Big game.
You and I will be standing alongside each other at Shark Park Saturday night. Cronulla can almost say the same about them, even though they've won seven of their last eight. They host Brisbane, who are just clinging on to a spot in the top eight.
Brisbane is a team I haven't been able to get a read on all year. When I think they're struggling, they come out and win, and otherwise as well, when I think they're going to win, they struggle. So I guess the thing about this game is they know that when they go to Shark Park against this team, they need to be at their best. So I think we're in for a big game. And the Sharks, even in the last 12 or 18 months, haven't been great at home as well. So they'll need to be on their toes. But you think the form lines of them, as you mentioned, those the wins they've had on the trot, you'd expect them maybe to get the chocolates there. But big game as well.
Well, the other one I really look forward to is the 4 o'clock game on Sunday. I'll be calling that with Matt and Dean, and that's at Campbelltown, West Tigers in Canberra. Because this, for two teams just outside the eight, is about as important a game as you can get for round 15.
Yeah, it's nearly... And you see, you look at the top eight, and it is starting to drift away a little bit as top teams are, and especially through this Origin period, it's crucial for those two teams to try and jag a win. So you don't want to use the word desperation, but where they're at in the last month of their footy, it's been a tough road for them, so it will be pretty desperate come Sunday at Campbelltown.
Can't wait for it all. Andrew Ryan, I appreciate your take on the week ahead. Look forward to seeing you at the footy, mate.
Sounds good.
The NRL table with one game to come in round 14 as we record this. Penrith on top of the table with 22 points. St George Illawarra on 20, as are South Sydney and the Warriors, a clear-cut top four. But Melbourne looms in fifth spot with 18 points. The Sydney Roosters and Cronulla also on 18. Brisbane eighth on 16 points. Then comes Wests on 14, Canberra on 12, with Newcastle and Gold Coast 10 points. Manly, North Queensland and Canterbury on 8, Parramatta 6. Gareth Widdop with a game in hand remains the NRL's leading point scorer with 129. Jared Croker second on 120. Latrell Mitchell on 116. Jermaine Asako 115. James Maloney 109. Chad Townsend up to 106. And Cameron Smith an even 100. While David Fusatua has broken away as the leading try scorer with 15. Three ahead of Valentine Holmes and Josh Adokar. And then a gap of four back to a group of six players with eight tries. To round 15, Thursday night at the Olympic Stadium, Parramatta takes on South Sydney. Friday night, 6 p.m, it's North Queensland playing the Warriors in Townsville. At 7:50, the Sydney Roosters face Penrith at the Sydney Football Stadium. On Saturday, 3 p.m. at Belmore, Canterbury against Gold Coast. 5:30, it's St George Illawarra playing Manly in Wollongong. And the nightcap at 7:30 sees Cronulla face Brisbane at Shark Park. On Sunday, 2 p.m, Newcastle at home again, this time playing Melbourne. The 4 o'clock game is West Tigers against Canberra in a very important game at Campbelltown Stadium, as we discussed with Andrew Ryan. To the tips we go. Now, Ralph Tucker, we tipped the same 9 teams, if you include State of Origin, and incredibly, we're 7 out of 8 so far, which I think is the best for either of us.
Amazing.
And we are both on St George Illawarra to beat Canterbury. The bad news for you is I still lead you by 8, so you need something.
I do need something, but the way I see it, I've got a few rounds just to chip away at your lead.
You might say you want to chip. So far you've been knocking on. So let's get to them. Parramatta, South Sydney at the Olympic Stadium. I'll let you go first with all of these. You're playing catch up.
South Sydney are just at the moment. They won ugly against the Gold Coast. And Parramatta, even though they recorded that win in Darwin, I just still couldn't tip them with any confidence. So I think South Sydney there in that one.
I'm with you. Rabbitohs to win again. And that would be 7 on the trot, wouldn't it, if they do? Friday night, 6 p.m, North Queensland playing the Warriors in Townsville. Now, the Warriors will obviously start favourites, but it is a tough road trip for them.
It's a difficult road trip for them. And that's why I'm going to tip the Cowboys.
Ooh, okay, I'm going Warriors. I tried to talk you into it. So Warriors for mine, Cowboys for you. 7:50 Friday night, we'll be there at the Sydney Football Stadium. Sydney Roosters playing Penrith.
Interesting clash, this one.
Yes.
The Sydney Roosters still haven't put it together after 14 rounds completely. You just think that there's going to be one performance in there that they're going to blow aside away. I don't think it'll be this week against Penrith. I'm tipping the Panthers.
Like you, I'm tipping Penrith, but this will be a good game. I'm looking forward to that one on Friday night. Saturday, 3 p.m. at Belmore, Canterbury against the Gold Coast Titans. We don't know, obviously, how the Bulldogs are going to pull up from their game against the Dragons. The Titans can probably consider themselves a little unlucky in that game against South Sydney. I find this a tough one to tip. Who are you going for?
This one will depend whether Moses Mbai is at Canterbury. I think he could be at the West Tigers. But anyway, I think Canterbury at their spiritual home, despite the fact they've had a poor record in recent seasons there, I just think that they may eke out a win against the Gold Coast.
I think the Titans may eke out a win. So I'm going to the
Gold
Coast.
There's some eking going on.
Oh, there'll be eking. 5:30, St George Illawarra against Manly in Wollongong. As you outlined earlier, Api Karoyas, our vital player for Manly, is out for an extended period.
Dragons.
Oh, you sure?
100% certain.
Yeah, I'm tipping the red and whites as well. The nightcap, 7:30. Won't this be an important game as well at Shark Park? Cronulla against Brisbane.
Cronulla's just like the Roosters. Just they win games, but you never ever leave their games convinced about their performance. But again, I probably think they're going to put together something similar and just, again, eke out a win against Brisbane.
Yeah, there'll be more eking at Shark Park. I'm with you, Cronulla, to beat Brisbane. Sunday, 2 o'clock, Newcastle, so close against the Roosters, and they take on the Melbourne Storm.
I like the spirit that the Knights show in a lot of their games, but yep. I just can't see them toppling the Storm.
No, I'm with you. Melbourne to win that one. And the 4 o'clock game, gosh, I find this a tough one. West Tigers, I'm just going to go against you, so there's a heads up. West Tigers against Canberra, Campbelltown Stadium. West, 2 points out of the 8, Canberra, 4 points out of the 8.
After an angry Ricky Stewart blow-up again, I think the Canberra Raiders will do the job on the West Tigers.
All right. In that case, I'll tip the West Tigers, albeit without Benji, as you mentioned, for the next 6 weeks. So there we have it. That's the podcast for this Monday, the 11th of June, and we are separate on a number of tips there for round 15. I've got the Warriors. Ralph's got the Cowboys. I have the Titans. Well, Ralph has the Bulldogs. And I have the Tigers. You have the Canberra Raiders. I lead you by 8 at this point.
Yes, I'll be chipping away, as I mentioned.
My thanks to Jesse Ramian, Andrew Ryan, Matthew Elliott, Ralph Tucker, and Zane Bojack for piecing all of this together. And thank you for listening. Can't wait to get back to the footy. Make sure you tune into ABC Grandstand for every moment of every game, live and at the ground. I'm Andrew Moore, and remember, winning starts on Monday.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week for Winning Starts on Monday.